This January, over 750 OA members gathered in Los Angeles for OA's 50th birthday party. Events included keynote speakers, multiple long-timer panels, workshops, a big book boot camp, and even an appearance by Roseanne S. If you'd like CDs or MP3s of any or all of these sessions, go to oa50th.org and then follow the link to the recordings. That's oa50th, oa50th.org.
Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting podcast. Visit our website at www.oalaig.org, where you'll find three separate speaker feeds with over 200 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Tom.
Oh, this is an amazing podium. That's what I've seen. Thank you, Atusa, for asking me to speak here, and it's so good to see familiar faces way up here in L.A. I got absent down in Orange County, and I occasionally come up here to Serenity Sunday when my group celebrates a birthday. I guess there's some great meetings up here, and I'm just very grateful to be here. I am home. This is O.A., and if I know one thing is I belong here. It doesn't mean I want to stay here all the time, but this is my home more than it was when I was a kid. I mean, it was built for me, and you probably heard that in my story. Just to qualify, I have 3 years of abstinence. I've been in OA. Thank you. I've been in OA since 2002. So I've been here 7 years, but there was a year there where I decided to leave OA. And I've been back for 3 years, and I'm very grateful for that. But for 3 years sober, clean, and abstinent, I'm not too tightly wrapped. Let's just put it that way. A lot of recovery has to continue. Anyway, my name is Tom. I'm a compulsive overeater. My top weight was somewhere in the neighborhood of 450 pounds, and I've spent most of my life over 300 pounds. I've never been thin. I started gaining weight when I was 7, and just very uncomfortable. Even with my family, I would get into fights with my parents. My younger brother may have seen what had happened between me and my parents and backed off and became like the good kid. I was always fighting back. I never wanted to go to school. I never wanted to, they took me to play dates. I never wanted to go there. I wanted this friend, not that friend. God knows I didn't want what they fed me. I grew up in a diabetic household. And, jam, which is no sugar in it, and everything healthy. And my mother was a Weight Watcher, which means, a yo-yo dieter, but she made sure that I ate right. And as a compulsive overeater, that's not comfortable. I wanted the junk food. I liked the sugar. I grew up in New York City, and New York has Jewish delis. It has Puerto Rican delis. It has Italian delis. It has Chinese delis. It has every food. I'm sure in L.A. you have something similar, but it's just wonderful. I mean, if you're into food. That's what I remember doing. I remember avoiding where I was supposed to go and eating. I stole food since I was a kid, stole money to buy food since I was a kid, and I just love this amplifier. It has so many knobs. I just want to play with the knobs. I grew up, I was, got all the fat kid jokes. I lost my friends. I know people who are heavy who, maintain large social networks, and I don't. As soon as you hurt my feelings, I hate you, and I'm not going to be around you ever, ever, ever again. And it turned out that no matter how kind that my friends were to me, they would always hurt my feelings. So by the time I was in junior high school, I had no more friends. I had quite an active imagination, though. I learned to read when I was 14. I had avoided it like the plague up to that point. I was a TV addict. But once I found books, I was able to cheaply, and away from the house, because the house was always monitored, I was able to be by myself and read and eat. I remember very clearly cutting school in junior high school, heading down to the East River, which doesn't smell too good, but it's a great view of Brooklyn. And sitting on a bench with a book and an order of Chinese food and bagels. And that was perfect. That's, it really is good. This is when eating worked, I was heavy. I was about, 50, 60 pounds overweight, but who cares? I mean, you're young. You can take it. As I got into high school, the cycles began. I had a real run-in with a dean in ninth grade that caused me so much pain that he essentially became my first sponsor. I mean, against my will. He grabbed me. I was cutting school like a maniac, and he would not relent, so I surrendered to him. And immediately I started going to class. My food cleaned up. He had no idea about my food. And I just had like a routine. I would make sure this guy was happy because I knew he could bring the pain if I didn't, satisfy him. And I did really well. I got into the school, a high school for the gifted, which, only befits my status as a genius. And I lost over 100 pounds. I mean, I'd gotten pretty heavy by that point. And I got to about what I am now, about 180. And I was running like crazy. I was doing a Weight Watchers plan in the 1970s that I found in my mother's bookshelf. And life was exciting all of a sudden. I could do stuff because I had to satisfy him. I had to do what he said or else he could get me in trouble with my parents and I had no escape. I hate with my back against the wall. I hate that feeling. I left that school, went to this really great high school, and did well for about a year. Then the weight started coming on again. Nobody there. I've always felt, and I've read it in recovery literature and heard it in meetings, it's me and everybody else in school. And it's just that feeling. I'm walking into enemy territory. And I have to pretend to be somebody else. I was an actor in junior high school. I really liked that because I could do these, I could pretend, on stage, and people would think that was cool, even if I was heavy. And people would pay attention to me. I loved that. But in high school, I didn't have the discipline anymore because this dean was no longer over my head. And my parents are very lax with me. They always have been. And that almost killed me at one point, but that's in the future. Anyway, I had a couple bad years in high school, dropped out, and ended up living with my dad. In my bathrobe, gaining weight, not knowing what the hell I was doing, reading all the time. And at this point, in my late teens, the escape that I had found in my early teens was not as easy to find. There was more pain, less pleasure. I was eating more to forget and to be comatose than to, enjoy myself. I used to go on these binges where I'd walk around New York for hours and hours with a backpack full of food and just, Manhattan. It was a wonderful thing. I couldn't do that anymore. I tended, when I ate, I would get paranoid, and I'd want to be inside and not viewed. And what happened was my dad got married and moved out. He left me this little apartment we were living in. And at that point, it got really strange, so much so I couldn't explain it to anybody why I was doing these things. I remember the blinds were broken, so I began putting up, if not tinfoil, but tape so that nobody could see me. And the neighbors would complain because I was on the first floor, and they'd say, it looks like a maniac's living in this apartment, with cracked windows and only comes out at night. And I put on some serious weight. And at that point, I wasn't making any money. My dad had stopped supporting me, and I had lost a job. My dad taught me a really good trade that I practiced for a few years, got good money. And those were my working years, between 89 and 96. And I would cycle, a couple hundred pounds up, 100 pounds down. But I lost my last job, and eventually the sheriff came and pasted a notice on the board saying, you gotta leave. So I moved in with my dad, and that's another shock, because it wasn't the dean this time, it was his wife. And she is in your face. She is, I could use a bad word, but, this, I can see it from her point now, this strange, heavy dude showed up, looking, acting odd in her house, and, what is this? And, she put the heat on, and all of a sudden I could lose weight again because I had to satisfy her. I didn't want to get thrown out. I have not yet been homeless. This is a yet for me. Come close. Anyway, I lost the weight, got another good job. I mean, I was working, for me, a lot of money is 40 grand a year. And I was working in Midtown Manhattan at a law firm, doing skilled labor, interesting work, working with very bright people. And I was chugging along for a while there, but I just need a bag of M&Ms in my drawer to get through the afternoon. And unfortunately, I can't control the amount that I reach in there and take. And I don't like coming to work heavier and heavier. I like coming to work getting lighter and lighter and lighter, everybody loves that feeling, but the other way around, not so much. And I took that same habit I had in high school, which was cutting school. I would not show up for work. That's a built-in habit of mine. So eventually, I just abandoned the job, and that was 1996. O.J. Simpson had just been declared not guilty in L.A., and we were talking about it at work, and like a week later, I was gone. And they sent me my box of stuff because I didn't even call them. Once again, I ran out of money. I couldn't pay the rent. Moved back in with my dad. And at this point, I didn't care what a bitch she was. I mean, I was living in the attic at the time. They were working all the time. I was raiding their ice box, and I was, screw them. It's what's the point? She knows what I am. I'm a loser. And she's got to deal with it. He's my dad, after all. We're blood, right? Well, it turns out marriage is thicker than blood. Thank God. And my dad said, Tom, we got to find you a place to live. She will leave me if you don't leave the house. And not only did I hate her, but I hate her for a long time. I began to hate him. How dare he? I mean, you don't see how weak and vulnerable I am? I can't get out to work. I'm living a very strange life. I don't mean anybody any harm. Just leave me alone and give me money. You know, I'm not robbing banks. I'm not doing anything weird. But anyway, that was okay. This has happened to me several times in my life. I'm very heavy. I'm weak. I haven't been standing up much. My back hurts. When I walk around, it's hard. You know, I'm several pounds, 100 pounds overweight. And now you want me to, like, look for an apartment? But we did. We drove around in his old Hyundai, and we went to bad neighborhoods where we're looking for $500 a month. And at that point, he tried to get me on welfare. And when at the welfare office, they suggested disability when they heard that I was somewhat out large in size. And I just, you know, I showed up for the doctor's appointment, and this is very similar to where I hear in AA. I was drinking for 20 years, but then I found crack. And crack took me down, you know, got me down faster, otherwise I wouldn't have gotten here until I was 60. And I think disability is my crack, because finally I could eat without responsibility. And that's all I've been looking for, guys. You know, I've tried life in a lot of different ways. I've tried many hobbies. I've tried relationships. I've tried motorcycles. I've tried hiking. I've tried spirituality. I've tried Tai Chi. I've tried, endless walking, therapy. I've tried endless diets. I haven't tried surgery yet. I haven't tried hard drugs yet. Alcohol. I drank a lot of scotch trying not to eat. I've tried everything, it doesn't work. So just leave me alone to eat. I'm happy that way, or at least I'm blotto that way. And I got on disability, that was 1997. And they said, we will give you $1,100 a month for 3 years. Check with us in 3 years. That was the happiest day of my life. We found an apartment, a little basement apartment in Garfield, New Jersey. Didn't smell really good, but I didn't care. I didn't smell good either. And so I was down there, and there were good days. I mean, those of you who know the pleasures of the table, there are some really, I mean, it is a good deal. There's a reason I didn't surrender immediately, you know, to a spiritual solution. There were some good times. I had internet connection. I had enough money to buy a computer. I had free cable. They forgot to turn it off from the prior tenant. I had a big TV, you know, that is when I'm earning good money. Anyway, for 3 years I lived down there. Rarely left the house. That's when I got to somewhere. By this time, I'd been dieting for a few months, but this is from Santa Barbara, 2000. A picture of me. The other guy with no face is my brother, and he's never had a food problem. We're the same height. Anyway, as 1999 dragged on, once again, I had surrendered to the disease, and it's the best deal I could find. But the disease is demonic in what it does to you. And there were some nightmares that were starting that I couldn't describe to anybody. I couldn't share with anybody. Physical, I ended up in the hospital a couple of times, but also psychological, where I would just be terrified of shadows passing by the window, of my landlords who lived upstairs. I would listen to them walk around up there. Paranoia got really bad. I don't know. I was eating just whatever, whenever, as much as I could. And at this point, my mother, who was out in California, decided to intervene because she knew I was going to die. And she wanted to take care of me as I died. So she came to, knocked on my door. I hadn't answered the phone in a long time. She knocked on my door. I let her in. I've left family members standing on the sidewalk several times. You know, they knew I was there. I wasn't going to answer the door. This time I let her in. I guess it had gotten that bad. And she invited me on a trip to New Hampshire. And, that awful, awful feeling. It's the exact opposite of, here's money, we don't want to see you for a while. This was, no money, you got to come out into the real world. You know, like, I can't describe it, like a hermit crab without a shell. So, the back pain. Because I don't have anything physically wrong with my back, but no muscle. And when you have no muscle, your back without a joint with all the weight coming down. And I have sleep apnea, acid reflux, very high blood pressure. I was a mess. But I had a buzz cutter, you know, the razors, and I had to look like a mental patient that I am. I had buzzed my head, you know, absolutely clean because I'd been down to here. I was, you know, a lot like Howard Hughes in that movie. I relate to that, you know, with the strings around. So I was abstinent. Once again, I had a sponsor before I knew what a sponsor was, and I got abstinent before I knew what that was. For 2 weeks, I was clean. She was making my meals or buying them for me. I wasn't binging in front of her. I was too embarrassed. I mean, and my head cleared up. And then she asked me, would you like to come live with me in California? I had lived here before. I lived in Corona Del Mar, Newport Beach, when I was a teenager. I was fat and on crutches, and none of the girls liked me. And that's a hard place to be. So, what was I going to do, go back to my hole? So I said yes. So I came here, and that picture was taken in 2000, January, Santa Barbara. And it's a weird, weird world if you've been incarcerated for any length of time. I've never been in the penal institution, but I've been in solitary. And the weird thing is, I like it that way. I enjoy it. Makes me sick, though. So I came out here, and it was a day, you know, although it was December or January, it was much like, you know, a nice shiny day. There was palm trees, and I was sitting on my mother's couch, and I didn't know what the hell to do. I was completely at her mercy, except I had money coming in still because the 3 years hadn't run out. So I was independently wealthy. I had a very rich uncle, Sam, and for any addict, I strongly suggest getting that kind of backing because, you know, they don't care. You know, they don't care. It's when someone is supporting you, who cares about you, that, you disappoint them, and I hate to disappoint them. So I lost 200 pounds in a year and a half on my own. It was a maniacal thing to do. I did the Weight Watchers thing again. I walked late at night so no one would see me. I began going to community college because I needed something to do with my mind. I occasionally binged on Little Debbie cakes because they were cheap. You know, I did well for about a year and a half physically. I lost weight. I got down to about 240, which is pretty good for me. And then it came apart again. And if you're in this room for any good reason, you know that. You've tried. I mean, you've really tried. You've tried. And it just, it comes back. So it came back again. And I thought, oh, God, I'm binging. I'm drinking alcohol. I'm not coming out of my room. My mom is in there, and she's doing who knows what. She's talking to my parents, my family members, and they're discussing me. I hate that feeling. There's no way out. There's no way out. I'm a dead man. And by the way, at 240, eating like a maniac again, all those physical symptoms came back. Acid reflux, high blood pressure, bad back, heart pain, sleep apnea, the whole deal. And then God had been intervening all through here, by the way, and because, you know, otherwise there are thousands of guys like me who are locked up right now, you know, dying. No chance. Nobody's ever going to get to them. But I'm standing here. What happened? My mom looked on, no, she didn't look online. She remembered from 1970-something, in Weight Watchers, there was a guy who had been in OA in relapse, trying Weight Watchers one more time, and he told her about OA. She had never been to a 12-step program. She remembered this, and she said, hey, Tom, let's go to an OA meeting. I found one in Costa Mesa. We went to our first meeting, and she says, I brought her. I say, she brought me. I'm not a fancier of crowds. We went. I was about, I don't know, three-something at this time, but crazy as a lunatic. I went to the Wednesday night Costa Mesa meeting. No, no. Tuesday night Newport Beach meeting. Little circle of old ladies. One person really heavy. We sat in a circle. They were reading As Bill Sees It, which you sell. That's a great book. Also, new pair of glasses. Oh, what a difference that made in my life. Until I discovered it's on CD. You can actually hear the guy. Anyway, I walked into that meeting, and I soon had a guy who stuck out his hand, and he said, why don't you call me tomorrow? And I heard his story, and he just had a way with people. He's a very friendly guy. And I said, I can't explain my own reactions at that time, because I should have gone, thank you, I'm out of here. Because that's my habit. I'm a very amiable person, but a very unsocial, not a friendly person. And I can't explain my behavior. My behavior was, I went to a meeting a night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday men's stag, Sunday 100-pounders. I'm not sure what happened on Monday, but Tuesday back at Newport Beach. Because I heard something here that was unlike anything I've ever heard. Plus, I was in a lot of pain. There were no deans. There were no bitchy stepmothers. There was my disease. My disease had become my dean. And we have a phrase in our literature which says, tasty cakes are our best advocate. Just eat enough and you'll convince yourself you need something. And because it was no more fun anymore. It was literally come back to hell. Or what else are you going to do? And so I heard these stories in OA. And my sponsor was also an AA, and he had me go to a Saturday AA speaker meeting at Hoag Hospital. And I began hearing these stories, and they don't make sense. I have a friend, Roz, who was over 200 pounds overweight, 22 years ago, and almost dead. And I have several friends who are over 400 and 500 pounds who are living normal lives today, married with kids. And while I was not exactly like that, I've only found one twin to me in Overeaters Anonymous. And, when I first discovered this guy, we're sitting across the table at coffee, and it was like talking to a mirror. It's the oddest thing. We react to things exactly the same way. But when it comes to food, I have a lot in common with you people. I was willing, at that point, I know some people who have never dieted, and, the food is everything, and they can't consider, I can diet. I know how to diet. I've lost weight many times. But what can you give me for that? I know thin isn't well. I've been absolutely miserable thin. I need something more than thin. Because I've discovered that being thin does not mean social acceptance. I am not suave and debonair when I'm thin. I'm not comfortable around people. I'm not a good employee when I'm thin. I'm not a good anything. I'm an obsessed, driven, highly nervous person. And I don't like that. I like being mellow. And the only way I know how to get mellow is with serious chemicals. Okay, I'll diet. Because you love to see me thinner. Every week I come a little thinner. That's exciting for about 5 seconds, and then I have to sit around these rooms. I like OA meetings. I like OA meetings. I like to hear people share. I like that. Honestly, there was one of you blokes came down to Orange County recently and shared, and he cried, and it wasn't fake. He cried in front of the whole room, and it's just because he had been where I've been. He had been suffering like a damn person, and he had been relieved. And that's what I found in OA. But I'm still a sick person. I'm still very sick. I fell in with a group of men who had lost serious amounts of weight, who had faced very bad health situations, very bad financial situations, and they were all recovering. We, not them and me, we hung together and we called each other and we went to meetings. We came up here, we'd come up in a group, celebrating 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. We were all reading the big book together, and, some of us were sponsoring other people, and some of us had, 6 months, and we were sponsoring. Some of us had 30 days, and we were sponsoring. some of us had a precious few years, and we hung together. And when I call these guys, many of them are still in the program, when I call these guys, I'm talking to people who are just as self-destructive as I am. I have no history of building a career or relationships or health. I'm a very impatient person, and so are they. So are we all. So I recovered physically. I lost the rest of the weight. My sponsor emphasized employment. He didn't make a big thing out of it, but I guess he did. You can't be sitting around your mom's house all day or walking hours and hours. You need to, like, get a job. And someone at coffee said, hey, why don't you, Starbucks, why don't you, like, go in there and work at Starbucks? And I went, you can, like, walk into a place and ask to work? Because I'd just been a proofreader. I've been a legal guy. I don't change my situation. I was thinking, well, you can't get a clerical-type job in California. It's impossible. You know, and so I was getting money still coming in. Why do I want to work? But anyway, I did. I got a job at, not Starbucks, but a competitor. And I did not drink the mochas. I didn't, when I toasted the bagels, I didn't eat the crumbs. We got pastry stuff every day coming through and throwing out. Expiration dates are way too, they don't expire. They're good. They're still good. You know, it's full of sugar. It's a preservative. It should be all right. And it was a great job. I was moving around all the time, 8 hours a day. I'd be on my feet. I dropped like 90 pounds, my last 90 pounds in that job. And they went, whoa, who's this guy who showed up chubby and now is like, because I got thin. I found the magic of not being hungry, and I'll take that. I'll get real thin. So anyway, I started working there. Then I got a job as a busboy. Oh, that's hard work. And then I got a job, in a clerical job. And that was, I'd been in program 2002, about early 2005. And I was starting to get on my feet again. I moved in with a recovery brother, one of these guys. We had an apartment together, and he was a lunatic. And I can't see my craziness, but I sure can detect yours. And I've come to accept it lovingly. I mean, we are just odd. And we don't mean it. I mean, when we hurt each other's feelings, it's nothing personal. It's really, we're okay. I mean, some of us are absent, some of us are not. That we're here is a miracle. I mean, to the newcomer who said, not too happy to be here, you could go to a movie. I mean, there are a lot of movies around here. You don't have to come to LA. I mean, just, we're all here. So I started losing weight, and I got down to 170, and I got down to 160, and I got down to 150, because I was looking for, well, the skin was still there, and I was going, maybe if I lose enough weight, the skin will, like, because I'm kind of, I look like a pug, you know, around the middle, and, you know, there's baggage. And I was embarrassed about that. And there's anorexia is, there's a pleasure to it. I've never experienced that before, but OA introduced me to a lot of things that I hadn't discovered. So, by that time, my sponsor was beginning a slow relapse, and he kind of jettisoned a bunch of his sponsees. I have to describe him for a second. He saved my life. He was a ball of charisma. He was a professional salesman. He had lost over 300 pounds. He had had the operation removing his stomach, not the band, and he had gained weight anyway. I mean, he's a champion compulsive overeater, and he'd been to OA since he was 18, and it failed. In 2000, he came to OA, and he surrendered. And if you listen to a new pair of glasses or listen to anybody who has recovery, or the white flag, that's the ticket. I mean, that's when I give up and I do it someone else's way, that's when things happen. If it's a hobby of mine, I have hobbies. They come and go. Anyway, he started recovering in 2000, and he built a few meetings, and he sponsored up to a dozen people at a time. And he was living and breathing several programs at once, and he was just had that salesman's assurance, and he drove a really nice car. And he did a fist step with me in that car. It was like a spaceship. And when I told him I'm by myself a lot. I've done embarrassing, you know, shameful things, but no crimes much. And he turned to me, and he had had a much wilder life. And he told me some things that actually curled my hair that he had done. and that he trusted me with this information, and that I related to them, that I would have done the same things if I had the guts. The fifth step is, there's something absolutely, especially if you've been living a compressed, lonely life for so many decades, and all of a sudden you have the willingness to share. And I had gotten that willingness through hearing you do it. I did not, like, attempt this as Superman by myself. I heard endless stories of people working the steps and having their lives turn around, and I really don't have a whole lot of options. Anyway, he started backing off the program, immediately relapsing, I mean, gaining weight. This disease has no mercy. And I switched sponsors, and I went with a sponsor he wanted me to go with, not one I chose. That was my decision. I didn't have a really good relationship with his sponsor, and I didn't respect him, not like the first one. So the dean was gone, I was thin. Where's there's nobody standing over me with a gun. I can eat what I want. 2 weeks later, I was in full-blown relapse. I had left my last meeting. My grand sponsor, Jack Z, had to actually leave the meeting, take the treasury from my hand so I wouldn't eat it, and because I wouldn't. And I left for 12 months. In those 12 months, I immediately lost my job. Immediately, my roommate moved out because he saw what was happening. He didn't want to be in a non-sober house. And I eventually moved back in with my mom. I was eating round the clock. If you haven't overeaten in a while, you got to taper on. Don't stuff. Very painful. I mean, I'll do it, but anyway, so I gained 200 pounds in 12 months. And I went from 150 to 350, and life was as it was before, and it's where it'll be again. It's my native mode. It's, as my friend Eric says, my nature is to binge and isolate. That's what I do. So after 12 months, I wasn't at my top weight, but I was out of money. So I came back. You see, I love my own story. There's not going to be any question or answer here. I'm going to use every friggin' second. Because I love myself. I have no recovery. I'm out 3 years, so I'm forgiven. So I came back in April of 06, left in April of 05. I was so ashamed. First of all, I hated you because you were going to judge me, so I'll hate you first. I know, I judge me. So anybody who's coming back from relapse, I feel it, because it's good to see, everybody sees you thin. Doesn't matter how crazy you are, what weird hobbies you have in your garage, but as long as you can show up thin, you know. We all put on a show. We got stuff. But if I'm fat, you know what I'm doing. I mean, you know what I'm doing at night. You know I'm falling asleep with the stuff on me, and my shirts are covered with chocolate stains, and then I got pots on the stove I haven't washed in a few days, and you know, I got a vermin problem because I just can't, you know, be bothered to be clean. I haven't showered in a few days. My hair is down to here. I'm not shaving. I'm a madman. So, but the money ran out, and I tried to get on disability again. Different doctor, different, I wasn't as heavy, no soap doc. So I went, my mom, I was drinking heavily at the time also, and my mom said, you got to leave the house, and I haven't been homeless late yet. I have met people in OA who have been homeless. You can make a good living, I've heard. And so my disease now knows this. So I came back to OA. It was the most shameful few weeks I've ever experienced. And then when I got comfortable with the meeting, and I go to another meeting, I had, like, I'm going to Serenity Sunday fat. And I remember Murray came up to me, and I was like, oh, God, everybody's going to see me. And Murray just, you know, he's like 7 feet tall. How you doing, Tom? We're so glad you're back. And that's the only reaction I've gotten in OA. So I was back, and I surrendered again. And a guy I didn't respect as much, but who had been absent during my binge, offered to sponsor me. We went through the big book again. I identified again, and I got the ability to diet again, and I got employed again, and the weight started coming off, and I went to a meeting a day, which I go about 6 meetings a day now. I used to go to 8, a month, a week. I need a meeting every day, just the way it is. I've been employed for 3 years. The jobs have gotten, you know, minimum wage, no benefits. Now I got a decent wage, decent benefits. I'm getting married in 3 weeks. I can't explain these things. I'm not the marrying kind, you know. She is in this room. She is one of us. 100-pounder, and in recovery with a sponsor. It's just, you know, we were made for each other. If one of us relapses, it's a bad deal. If both of us relapse, it's... But, you know, I'm a dead man anyway. Everything is gravy, so to speak. So we're... Everything is clicking. As long as I'm willing to call my sponsor, as long as I'm willing, I'm doing a four-step again. I've made amends, a lot of money. All my family, except one guy, is going to show up at the wedding I haven't seen in a while. I'm doing a four-step again, hopefully give away a fifth step before my marriage. This will be the first two-week vacation I've had since my last one-year vacation. I'm a judgmental son of a bitch. I look around my workplace, I go, you're lazy. You show up late. You don't do your work. I spent 10 years doing absolutely nothing. I've stolen a lot of office supplies. You know, I don't know. I just like to judge. It's tasty. So, anyway, I am one, as my friend Nancy, who's got more than 30 years abstinent, I'm one bite away from a binge. I cannot touch sugar and flour. I do not handle starches at all. Psychoactive drugs, I can't do. I've tried the psychiatric stuff, and it has no real effect on my thing. Alcohol, I can't touch. I can eat three wonderful meals a day. I mean, I enjoy my food. It's the same thing every day. But it's good. And I'm hungry at mealtime. And I'm at normal weight. And I don't exercise at normal weight. No, I've done it before, like, you know, running several miles a day. I'm employed. They respect me at work. They think I'm a good worker. I'm the reliable guy. I'm a loving fiancé. I put a lot into that relationship because I know this stuff doesn't maintain itself. Nothing maintains itself with me. There was a movie back when I was a kid, probably was even before that, but, you know, a bunch of soldiers go up to a base of a dam and they put dynamite in it, very little bit of dynamite, and they blow it up and they say, you know, don't worry, it'll fall. You know, 10 minutes later, the whole thing crumbles. That's what I do. Just a little bit of food. It's, you know, no meetings. You know, nothing's going wrong, but that dam, it's creaking, boy. And I get pretty weird even abstinent. I still suffer from paranoia and deep resentments and fear. And getting to work sometimes, I just have to pray to God. I'm nauseous. I don't want to go to work. All right, I'll end on the higher power thing. I can't hurt atheists. I love atheism. I love science. They combine very well. It means I'm in charge. Nobody can judge me because there's no standard of anything. Love is meaningless. Family relations are meaningless. I like that. It makes me comfortable because I live a very shameful life if judged by anybody's standard. So no standards. That's good. Anyway, I discovered through working the steps, the higher power showed up. I moved. My higher power is food and alcohol. Move that to the side. This other gent shows up, and he does not make hard terms with me. He requires daily activity. Not because he wants me... He knows what I do. I take up too much time. Anyway, I thank you very much. The quote I got in my phone said, basically, don't take credit. You know, without OA, I'm dead. And I suffer a lot before I die, and I belong here. It's my home. Thank you for letting me share.